This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. Today's In Focus is about guide dogs for the blind and those who are partially sighted. CNIB guide dogs are trained to provide mobility, safety, and confidence for their handlers, allowing them to experience a full life without barriers. My guests are Johanna Lintemann, volunteer puppy raiser with CNIB, and Tracy Garbutt, coordinator of CNIB's Ambassador Dog Program. Welcome to you both. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, Johanna, you are here in Lanark County. And Tracy, you are in Winnipeg. Is it snowy
yes,
out there today?
Well, it's a little chilly, a little breezy, but you know what? That's what we expect in Winnipeg.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get started. And can we begin with both of you telling us a bit about yourselves and the work that you do with CNIB Guide Dogs? Let's start with you, Johanna.
Okay. About 4 years ago, after losing both my last dogs, I found myself floundering, not knowing what to do. But at the same time, I saw an ad from CNIB looking for puppy raisers, which is always something I had wanted to do. I contacted them, and after waiting for not too long a period, I was asked if I was ready to accept a puppy. And then Katie arrived. So I've had her since she was small and spent a lot of time going around town and making friends everywhere we went with her. And doing the things we do as puppy raisers, which is just exposing them to everything they can be exposed, potentially the things that they will find out when they become guide dogs. She came with me to every class, every doctor's appointment, everything I went. And then she was ready to go on to the next stage. But Katie has a very interesting personality. And she did not make it. She did not become a guide dog.
Oh.
However, because CNIB has other programs, they deemed her quite suitable to become an ambassador dog.
Okay. And she was more sociable. Is that it?
Very sociable, very opinionated.
Oh, really?
Very interactive, good for anything. To this day, life with Katie is a party. As a matter of fact, today she's wondering, why haven't we moved yet?
Tracy, let's bring you in here if we could. And
sure.
I'm just wondering, what is your background and how are you connected with CNIB Guide Dogs?
Well, I've been working for CNIB for almost 26 years in many different roles. And in the last couple of years, I was brought over to the guide dog team. So I am part of the guide dog team. We started back in 2017 with two staff. Now we're up to, I think, 42. But my role is to work with clients, stakeholders, and running the Ambassador Dog Program, also with my coworker, Miriam Maas, who does the training with the dogs. But for me, it's coordinating different presentations and different things out there to get the word out, educate the public, and all those kind of things. I can't be everywhere and all the time. But having someone like Johanna and Katie out in the public is so invaluable. It's unbelievable what they do in the community for us. It's that education and awareness. And those are the things that we really need out there to keep spreading the word. I think more and more people are aware of guide dogs, the laws, and everything that kind of encompasses guide dogs, service dogs in general. But what Johanna does is absolutely amazing. Katie in the community is just bringing the awareness out there so much. And volunteers like Johanna, too, is absolutely crucial to CNIB. We couldn't really do half the things that we do without our volunteers. They're so important.
They always are, aren't they? And now, you have a guide dog yourself, correct?
Yeah, I do. I do. She's a five-year-old Black Lab Brindle, and she's from the CNIB program. I got her back in 2019. And living in Winnipeg, if you've ever been here in the wintertime, it's pretty brutal to try to get around, especially when we get a lot of snow and the cold. And she makes me so independent. It's life changing, and I can't imagine doing the things that I do without her. It would be very difficult.
That's incredible. So it's really been a transformational experience for you then to have your dog, Marion, right? Oh,
for sure. Yeah, she's my third. I've had a couple other dogs from other schools, but having a dog makes you so much more spontaneous. You're not planning things as much. And when you travel in certain areas all the time, I mean, you just feel like anybody else, and you just get out in the community and do your thing.
So what qualities make for a good guide dog then? Let's bring you back in here, Johanna.
Guide dog, certainly obedience, exposure. Exposure is critical because these dogs have to maneuver through the same circumstances a person would, and even more, because they are the eyes and the awareness of people who are walking along with them. So the they have to do, which can be worked through in training, is what makes them valuable for a partnership.
Right. Now, I'm just wondering if their nature, if, you know, they have to have certain qualities as far as their nature is concerned to be a good guide dog.
Yeah, and I could kind of add more to that as well. And I think with our dogs coming out, and Johanna, you know, that when they start off as a puppy, it's being exposed to so many different situations so that as they get older and they go into the next stage of the program, they're adaptable. They get into a mall or onto a bus or any situation that they've been raised as a puppy makes them a better transition when they go into that formal training and get introduced to the harness, guiding, working with our trainers. You know, it's having that easygoing dog that doesn't maybe have a high dog distraction, and all those kind of qualities, which takes a long time to instill and put into our dogs.
The training must be really extensive, is it?
It is. It is. Like they do start at a young age at 8 weeks, and they're with that puppy raiser for the first 12 to 14 months. And then after that, they go to our canine campus in Ottawa, and they start that formal training, like I said, and they get the harness on, they start to guide and work with our guide dog mobility instructors. And as they go through the process, our instructors are also looking at their personality, applicants that are out there. Who is that dog going to best suit? You know, is the client in a more rural kind of quiet area? Are they in the hustle bustle of Toronto or whatever? And there's some dogs that will handle that high pressure situation better than others. So some dogs that might not have that quality might be matched with someone that maybe has a little slower paced lifestyle. So those things are very crucial in that whole starting stage and matching a client with a dog.
Right. Now, this is a national program, of course, but now you talked about a canine campus. And can you talk about that and where these dogs are actually trained?
Well, I mean, the puppy raising is all over Canada. We have puppies being raised in Winnipeg, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Toronto. And so after that, they're going to that stage. Then they go to Ottawa, Ontario, in Carleton Place. And we have a converted horse arena, actually. And we're still in that development stage. But we have different pods and stuff that house the dogs. And the trainers will take them out on a daily basis. Each guide dog mobility instructor kind of has a string of dogs that they're working with. And you know, they might take one dog out, bring them back, take another, and it's getting them out into public situations. It could be getting on a bus. It could be taking them into a subway situation. All those kind of different training aspects go into the dogs. And it's that socialization part too. And that's always such a crucial thing to see how dogs are going to react.
Mm-hmm. And, right. You know. So this is a place that's set up with all those situations, right? With a store, with a bus stop and traffic and that sort of thing. It's all set up. Johanna, what do you think of that?
The construction has started. And there is a video available for those who want to see a little bit more about what it is going to look like.
Okay, and where could we find that video then?
Online, or they can reach to either of us via email. You can give our emails if you want, and we can make it available. It's a short video that explains clearly what the dogs will be doing in this surrounding environment.
Right.
Everyone that is in a city will be there in a small scale, live, so they can have exactly the same situation recreated as they trained.
Okay. And we'll go over your email addresses where people can find that video just before we finish chatting here today. So let's talk about the program and the career options for the dogs that you have.
Yeah. I mean, if typically, you know, like if they don't make the guide dog program, we re-career them. And we have a buddy dog program, which is pretty amazing. We accept applicants from the ages of 7 to 16. And they're matched with blind or partially sighted children across the country. They get this opportunity to raise the dog with their parents. It becomes a family pet. And all those kind of opportunities that may, you know, maybe that child has never had. And it's going to give them that opportunity to see if they want a guide dog in the future. And so if our dog doesn't go to the buddy dog program, then we put them to our ambassador dog program. And we have 6 ambassador dogs out there right now. We're still growing. But again, those guys are out there to educate, do public speaking events, go into schools, all kinds of different things so that we can educate the public and spread the word about what our program is all about.
Right.
And then the guide dog, program, like I said, we started out in 2017 and you know, we're growing and it's, you know, we're looking after Canadians across the country and making sure that if any Canadian wants a guide dog, we're there to provide a guide dog. So right now we do have a long wait list, but as we grow, and of course there's always going to be growing pains, we're going to hopefully be able to provide as many dogs as we can to Canadians. And a lot of people go outside the country as well. And we always try to promote that and tell people to apply to different schools as well. We're not the only game in town. But,
okay. And Joanna, you have Katie, and she's what, the only ambassador dog in Lanark County, right?
Correct. So we go from here to wherever they need us in the area, Ottawa, just for different presentations, different communities, different areas who want to know more about what these dogs do. So the idea is, and I've had very interesting conversations with people because immediately, as soon as they see me, they know, no, I know exactly what to do. And that already has created an interest on Katie. So it's important for people to know that even though you know, the way you express it is already diverting the focus that the dog has. And that's our role, is to teach them how to make sure that the dog remains calm by my side without being distracted as you and I have a conversation. So it starts with kids, with adults, in the street, with groups, because even though there is awareness about what it is, the visual part always distracts. Everybody wants to pat the dog.
And that's not allowed, right? Or is it?
No, it's definitely not.
Sorry? Tracy?
Yeah, when the harness is on, it means kind of hands off.
Okay.
Even my family knows not to pet my dog when they're working. It can be really dangerous if your dog got distracted crossing a street or any of those kind of situations. So it's really important to try to ignore the dog, make like it's not there. And I know they're cute, they're awesome dogs out there, but it is really important to not to interfere with a guide dog or any service dog.
So that's with the guide dog itself. But if it's an ambassador dog, that's a different story, right, Joanna? If you take Katie somewhere.
The rule can be a little bit more flexible. And certainly in our area, Katie already has, I would like to say, a following.
Okay.
Where as long as she's sitting down and the person asks me first, we can invite the person to come to Katie for a pat and a chat and a little bit of love. And that's the idea. It's hard because, like I said, Katie already has a number of fans. And she knows it and they know it. So I always explain to people watching this that, yes, this is not the norm. It's because they've had already a connection with Katie. The norm is, like Tracy said, ignore and ask. Approach the handler first, always, unless they are in harness.
Okay. Now, if you took Katie, say, into a classroom, into one of our local schools here in Lanark County, what would the protocol be there?
It's very simple. The class would already be started. Kids are sitting down. We just had a presentation kind of in a similar situation. We arrived. Katie comes with me in leash, wearing a vest, a yellow vest that people have seen in town. And we start a conversation, questions that they may have, or I may simply come in and introduce myself and Katie and her job. Who is she? Why is she not a guide dog? Why is she here just saying hi, hello? And always a conversation will start. So that's how it can start. And as an ambassador dog, there may be more that can be done, especially with children, depending on the surrounding area. At the end of the conversation, maybe kids will be invited to come and pat Katie and give her some love. And she's always welcome for that.
Okay. So Katie's not what you'd call a therapy dog then. Is that something different?
Absolutely not. She is not a therapy dog. She has been trained as a guide dog, but it's a dog that is not guiding. So she obeys the same commands that guide dogs follow. And she has a job. And her job is to create awareness of the job of guide dogs in the communities.
Okay. And, you know, I'm wondering, unless we're impacted by blindness ourselves or know somebody who is, how much does the average person know then about the work of guide dogs? What would you say to that, Tracy?
Well, I think, that's a really difficult question, but I think, you know, we're making a lot of headway with the Ambassador Dog Program. We're really getting the awareness out there. And I think sometimes there are people that do know a lot more. And then, you know, you take two steps forward sometimes and three steps back. But this is where our Ambassador Dog Program is really crucial across the country, because even today, talking to you guys and speaking to the public like this really brings some great awareness. And Johanna going out and doing her presentations. I was at a school yesterday with about 100 kids, and at the end of it too, I will actually take Marion's harness off and kids will get to meet her when she's out of harness. She knows the difference between work and play.
Oh, that's lovely.
Those kind of situations really help us get the word out. Mm-hmm. And the younger generations are really crucial to get to as well, because they go home and tell their parents, and it starts that dinner conversation as well.
Of course. Now, we just have a couple of minutes left, unfortunately. Is there anything else that either one of you would like to add before we go?
Well, for me, it's, if you want to volunteer, we're always looking for volunteers. There's so many different opportunities throughout CNIB, not just with the guide dog program. We really, you know, need more puppy raisers out there. Very crucial to our program. So you can always go to CNIB.ca mm-hmm. and look up our guide dog programs and all of the other things that we offer. And, you know, you can reach out to us as well, and we'll help you out as much as we can.
Okay, so information for you, Tracy, would be Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, dot Garbutt, G-A-R-B-U-T-T, at CNIB.ca, correct?
That's correct, yes,
okay.
For
and
sure.
You don't
Thank
mind
you.
People reaching out to you directly there, Tracy?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, and Johanna, what about you? Do you have any last-minute things to say?
Absolutely. It takes a village. It takes a village, and that's our job, and that's what we have experienced going through the different places that I go on a daily basis. People who want to reach and have a conversation and become aware of what can I do to help, to not interfere with the training these dogs have had, to make sure that people who are using guide dogs are safe in the community, and we want to make sure that we can help by helping them be aware and learn as much as we can about these programs. So that would be my advice to everybody. By all means, ask questions, and you're more than welcome to come talk to us on the street.
Okay, excellent. And your email address, you don't mind people contacting you directly either?
No.
Okay, is lintapeople@ripnet.com. That's L-I-N-T-A people@ripnet.com. So either one of you would be glad for someone to contact you, or to go to cnib.ca for a general overall information about your program and just what's going on there, right?
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. I want to thank you both very, very much. Take care out there in Winnipeg. Watch
thank
all
you.
That snow, Tracy. We've got yep. it here today, too.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, thank you both very much, Johanna and Tracy, for joining us today.
Thank you thank again. You.
You're welcome. Thanks to Johanna Lintemann and Tracy Garbutt with CNIB Guide Dogs. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.